Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You are listening to Zed Games, Australia's longest running and most beloved, almost certainly gaming radio show. We are coming to you live from the 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane. You might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and joining me and sharing this microphone today, Miss Candy Payne.
Hi.
There she is, Razor.
Hello.
Jody McGregor.
Hello.
And special guest host and also interview subject later on, Kim Alom from Defiant.
G'day. How's it going?
Good. Ray, what are we doing on this episode?
Well, we're very pleased that Kim is here, and we're going to be interviewing her later on about her work at Defiant Development, which includes the games Hand of Fate and Ski Safari Adventure Time. Jody, you've been playing Audio Surf 2.
Yes, I have.
And a bunch of us have also been playing Skiing Yeti Mountain.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel there's a bit of a skiing theme going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, kind of.
But let's get this episode started with the Week in Gaming News headlines with Ms. Candy Payne.
Thank you. Bethesda is expected to officially announce Fallout 4 this week after launching a Fallout-themed countdown website. So far, we've had no confirmation about a new game in the popular Fallout series, with several pranksters taking advantage of the lack of information by creating hoax websites, some so elaborate that they've fooled fans and the gaming media. Bethesda has also scheduled a press conference at this year's E3 for the first time, suggesting that more substantial information will be coming our way very shortly.
This is one of those news articles where we're just announcing an announcement that hasn't come out yet, right?
Yes.
But we're excited to find out what they're going to announce.
I'm excited about the announcement.
So. I am so stoked.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us live, the announcement is happening in 6 hours from now.
Mm.
And it's fallout.bethsoft.com if you want to check out that sweet-ass clock.
But if you're, I guess if you're podcasting or listening to On Demand, you're in the future, so tell us, how is Fallout 4? Is it as good as we all hope?
Can you have a dog?
Oh.
Send the message back in time to us.
Yep. Online games retailer Steam will now allow refunds for any reason within 14 days of purchase. To be eligible for a refund, the game cannot have been played for more than 2 hours. The move marks a major change in policy for the number one PC gaming platform, which has had disputes with consumer rights bodies, including Australia's ACCC, for not allowing refunds under any circumstances.
I do like one of the things they said in their FAQ was that if you buy a game at full price and you don't play it, and then it comes on sale a day after, then yes, it's okay if you get a refund and then buy it for 75% off or whatever. We will not be upset by that. And I was like, well, that's nice of you, because that's exactly what happens to me all the time. It's nice that they've realized that's what we do and then kick ourselves over.
There are a few people, devs particularly, who have like smaller game experiences are a bit concerned that this essentially turns into a free rental service for some things, but then a few of those other devs are saying that it's not like they get sales anyway, so this isn't going to affect them. But I am concerned that Steam is very much aligned with like massive like extended gaming experiences rather than people who have smaller, more directed ones. Kim, how does this affect you as a developer?
Well, I was just personally thinking about this this morning, actually, once I read the article. I think Steam are very in tune with the consumer experience, and what they'll do is they'll look at the stats. I assume they'll look at the numbers, they'll look at the data and see if this is actually affecting the developers in a negative way. And then they will change, or may change, sorry, I should say, may change to suit the market behaviour. Mm. As a developer, though, look, it's again, we look at numbers as well, and if we, it's for us, it's different. It's all about content and responding to the Steam community. We probably won't see much change to our data because of the policy. I think we've already got a very well established audience, so we're just lucky in that regard, in that this policy probably won't change our status at this point.
A sequel to 2013's XCOM Enemy Unknown has been announced. XCOM 2 will launch in November as a PC-only title. A trailer is available for viewing online, though no gameplay footage has been shown yet.
Jody, I think you're still actually playing XCOM, right? You're playing that longest game campaign?
No, I was playing another Iron Man game, which means there's permadeath, and yes, I did die. I like that this trailer shows that the canonical ending of XCOM is the one in which you lose, because now aliens have taken over the world. That's what the trailer shows, like, the beginning of the game as being. So that means that what happened to me is actually what happened in their fiction as well.
I guess I've finished XCOM many times then, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to lose.
Mm. I like that there's a big snake man in the trailer.
Snake woman.
Snake woman, yes, you're right.
Diversity.
Yeah. Yeah, finally representation for the snake woman among us.
XCOM is actually part of my Game of Shame pile. It's been sitting on my Steam library for a good, a long time. So I feel ill-prepared, and also no spoilers, thanks. Bye.
Right.
Leaked documents suggest that the PlayStation 4 may see a hardware revision very soon. The new model uses less power and upgrades the hard drive from 500 gigabytes to 1 terabyte. It's expected to be officially announced by Sony at their E3 press conference on the 17th of June.
I just got one.
What?
Well, a PlayStation.
Oh.
You know, a while ago, I guess. But I want the new one already.
It was a while ago that you got it.
Sometime.
Oh. Yeah, you know what I want? I want the Batman PS4.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is this?
What?
There's a limited edition Batman Arkham Knight PS4 that's launching this month.
Is it just black?
You'd think so, but it's actually light gray with Batman on it.
Right.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I want it.
Well, did someone like shoot a PS3 in front of it in an alley? How is it Batman themed?
Maybe Christian Bale's voiceovers, like kind of. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe
oh yeah. Every time it turns on or something,
it just growls at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Warners, if you're listening, send us that thing. That sounds cool.
And Microsoft has quietly updated the Xbox One controller. The main change is the replacement of the proprietary headphone port with the standard 3.5mm audio jack port. Previously, if users wanted to use their own headphones or headset, they would need to purchase an adapter for $39.95. The new controller isn't yet widely available, but is currently bundled with the Australian-only Xbox One Indie Developers Pack that also contains Hand of Fate, Smite, Never Alone, and three other games.
I was failing to see the relevance there, and then I realized that this actually is an interesting article to discuss with Kim.
I was going
to
say, how convenient. Wow, was that planned? Yeah, we were stoked about this news. So ID at Xbox gave us a holler, and we're just like, so, guys, you want to be part of a bundle? You know, like, do you want to be part of an Xbox One, you know, your image on a box and sell Xbox One consoles with Hand of Fate on top? And we're like, yeah. It was so surreal to get that that email. And it came at a timely manner too, because I'm not too sure if you guys saw, but Kotaku came in as well into the studio and did a bit of a piece that kind of complemented the release of the bundle as well, which was very, very cool. Mark Serrells is a very cool dude, who makes apparently really good porridge.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah, I had to unfollow him on Twitter because 90% of his tweets are just about porridge.
That's blasphemy.
Porridge related.
Absolute blasphemy.
Are there photos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That would get boring after a while, wouldn't it?
Yes. Thank you.
But no, so when it came out, and mind you, it is web store only, so it's not in like your JB Hi-Fives or whatnot, which is a bummer, but it's still really rad to say, hey, so the video game my team and I have been working on is in a bundle with Xbox One. That's really cool. Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool.
Going back to the controller that they were talking about, I welcome this change. I think it's good. A bit behind the Wii U and the PS4 that already have headphone jacks included, but I think there's a special sort of...
You're just saying this because it's not painted like Batman.
Well, that would be nice, but...
Actually, no, the new version of the controller that we've seen a picture of is actually painted like Batman. It's just like grey and silver.
Oh, it is yeah. Grey, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a special sort of deviousness you need to be able to sell the ability to plug in a headphone jack in for like $39.95. Mm. Yeah. But I'm glad they corrected it.
Yeah, well, now they get to sell more of them with the feature that you craved all along. They're heroes.
Although I think one of the good things about the old adapter is that you could adjust the chat levels and the game levels separately. That's kind of cool, but I don't think it's $39.95 cool. You're listening to Zed Games. My name's Razor, and reintroducing the gang, Jody McGregor, Lee, and Candy Payne. Our next guest is a producer at Defiant Development, who are makers of games such as Ski Safari, Adventure Time, and Hand of Fate. Kim Allum, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm really stoked to be here, actually. This is my second time in the 4ZZZ studios, actually.
Did you break in the first time?
No comment, Lee. No comment.
But producer, what does that job entail?
So it's a doer of all sorts of things. The main thing is basically making sure we've got a set of tasks for everyone to work on, making sure that those tasks are unblocked or can be worked on to be unblocked. That's the main side of things, and to deliver the project in a timely manner. That's the high level sort of way to explain the core of a producer. But actually, I look at contracts, I man booths, I speak to Xbox, I speak to Sony, I look at all the stakeholders, and I arrange events. Like, it's just a myriad of all sorts of different tasks, which has proven to be one of the most killer experiences of my life. But all the while, around games, so it's really cool.
This is your first gig in the industry, right?
It certainly is.
Nice.
How badass is that?
Yeah, you landed that well.
All right, yeah. Right. And how I did, though, was quite an interesting story. I think it's interesting anyway.
Oh, we don't have time for interesting stories. Go on.
Just really boring stories. So I watched Paint Dry today. True story. A bit sad to kind of mention Manabar again because I miss that place. I was at a networking event called Big Dev. That still goes on, and that's just a space, a really nice space to link up developers, whether you're a student or, you know, an actual professional developer, just to hang out, talk about what's going on in the local Brisbane scene in terms of game development. And one time I was still studying. I was studying a Bachelor of Games and Interactive Entertainment at QUT, and I caught wind of a producer role with Defiant, and just through Twitter. But I decided to go to the Big Dev event to actually meet some people and hopefully maybe meet Morgan, who was tweeting about it. Instead, I met John Passfield, who was just like, oh, you're a producer type, hey? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, well, there are so many things going on in the world of production. Here's one of them. And introduced me basically to the idea that, you know, there is a role for management and production in Brisbane, which is just crazy because the games industry is notorious for being hard to get involved in, getting your foot in the door is usually a get into QA and then work your way up kind of scenario. But I struck it lucky and have been having the best time ever because since then, yeah.
Is the Big Dev thing still happening now that the Mana Bar is closed down?
It is.
Are you trying to get another job, right?
Are you opening up Mana Bar 2.0?
I'd love to, but no.
Yes, so I think I'm actually talking at the next Big Dev. But yeah, it will be held in a bar in Tenerife, I believe, or it might be somewhere in the valley, somewhere still close. Yeah, so they're still going on, yep.
Cool. So let's talk about Ski Safari Adventure Time. Now, you showed us a tattoo on your leg, and I assume that means that you're an Adventure Time fan. What was it like working on the game, Ski Safari Adventure Time?
It was insane. And for it to be my first game too, actually, release game, I vividly remember when I was told what my first project was going to be. I worked a little bit on a Ben 10 game with Defiant, but I can't really say that I had much involvement in that. But basically, one morning, Morgan comes in and he's just like, oh, so Kim, you know, and very, very, you know, just calm, gracefully, as Morgan does with his, like, super awesome, like, bass-infused voice. I'm not sure if you remember that, kind of like Barry White. So he comes in, he's just like, okay, so Kim, we're going to be working with Cartoon Network again. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. There's this TV series called Adventure Time. I'm just looking at him as he's saying this, being calm, so calm, but internally imploding because I just got the tattoo of BMO on my leg. And I'm thinking, are you serious? I didn't say that to him. I was just like really, really calm, really calm. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I've heard of it.
So as a producer, were you like hanging out with the creators of Adventure Time, like going for beers and stuff like that?
Oh, I wish. I so wish. The closest I've had is there was the opportunity to get some custom voiceovers for the game. And I really, really wanted my kind of like voicemail message to be Jake saying something wild or Finn saying something wild, but more so BMO saying something wild. But unfortunately, the voice actor for BMO was at the time unannounced pregnant. And she was busy and whatnot. But that's probably the closest I've had with the Adventure Time guys, which is kind of cool. We got some swag. That was cool as well. Swag is cool. But no actual kind of... I've met John DiMaggio, actually, but not through Adventure Time. I was just at, like, Supernova and stuff, and that was kind of cool. So, yeah.
You were listening to Zed Games. I am Lee, and once again joined by Razor, Candy, Jody, and for today, Kim Allam. Kim, you were recently counted amongst the 100, like the MCV Pacific, which is an industry-specific news source. So you were among their like 100 greatest women in gaming.
I think it's 75 most influential women in games.
75.
Yeah, 75.
Okay. That's even better.
Just keeping you on.
Nice. Yeah.
Just check yourself, Lee.
I will. Yeah.
Good. Sorry. All right. Just a bit of sass today. Sorry.
Yeah.
I watched paint dry. I told you that. Yeah. That's why I'm feeling sassy. Okay. Yeah. No. Phenomenal experience. So I was super, super lucky to come with my mother and my sister in tow to Sydney to check out the inaugural, so the very, very, very first Women in Games kind of luncheon, let's recognise the kick-ass chicks that Australia and New Zealand, Asia Pacific in general, and what they're doing in games. Mm. So it was a mix of like journalists, so sales, accounts, management people, and developers. And that was very, very, very cool to mix with that crowd, because usually you've got GCAP, which is wonderful, mostly developers, but then you've got things like this event here where you could mix with all sorts of game dev life that are part of the whole process, not necessarily game development and whatnot. It was very cool.
Yeah, because usually those camps kind of keep to themselves, the PR people and then the journalists.
That's
and the
right,
devs.
Yeah.
And no one talks.
No.
We shouldn't even be talking now, actually. We're breaking the rules.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So badass.
Sorry.
That's okay, I forgive you. So what happens is, and what was very, very cool, was to recognize and actually give awards to some of the really, like, amazing women that have been doing some amazing things in the industry in the past year. So it was great to be part of that experience. The main thing, though, was to be able to mix with the ladies and just share stories and whatnot. So it was very, very cool.
So they've created a board now, right? Like there's a Women
in Games Advisory Board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they? Do you know if what they're going to be? What kind of initiatives are going to come out of that?
It's early days.
Yeah.
Total early days. I've signed up for it, and I hope or if any of our Widget members, Widget is a Facebook group for women in games and digital media and whatnot. I hope as many of us sign up to it as possible. I'd love to see more females getting involved in the actual organization of it, getting their opinions heard and whatnot. Love Joel. Joel organized the whole event, but I think he's just exceptional. He's amazing. He's wanting to make sure that the Women in Games Advisory Board is a thing and is basically coordinating that. Mm-hmm. But when I see it happening and seeing the discussions, that's going to be a real kind of like, moment. Like, it's cool. It's cool.
That's an annual thing that's going to happen, right?
The board?
Well, no, the event.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to hope so. It seems like there was a lot of support for it.
So we've got like a year, basically. What do we do to make sure that candy is included in next year's top 75?
I think...
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, we may have like a QA role. Or, you know,
I'm in, whatever. Yeah.
So, no. I don't know. I don't know how I got on there, to be honest. Seriously, I don't know. I didn't even realize there were nominations until Morgan was just like, hey, I was going to nominate you for this thing, but you've already been nominated. So there's that. I'm like,
Headhunted again.
Headhunted is the word of the day, by the way, guys.
Yeah, really is.
it's been a great experience. I was really touched. I was overwhelmed. I was crying at some points, which is lame. Can you cut that out?
We'll edit that out in post.
Yeah, if you edit that out in post, that's great. Thank you. It was just super an emotional experience, and I can't wait to see what us ladies will come up with in the future.
Yeah.
I was reading the Kotaku article that popped up on their website a couple of days ago, and I saw that you guys have a sword collection. Can you explain about that? Why do you have it?
Tell us about your sword.
Whoa, wine and dine me first, guys. Jeez. Morgan is the creative director of Defiant, and him alongside with our awesome Chief Technical Director, Technical Director Officer. Sorry, Dan, I love you, Dan. Dan Treble. So those guys are total kick-ass bosses, and they just are amazing. One time, a couple of weeks ago, Morgan was like, hey, Kim, can we organize an event for our 5th year anniversary? By the way, people who've been with us for 2 years are getting a 2 years service sword. Make that happen.
Like, hang on. These swords,
yep.
They're real swords.
Real swords.
How big?
Big enough.
No, I don't know why I'm so intrigued. It's just, like,
don't ask someone the size of their sword. That's very rude.
No, I can, because I'm just thinking, like, my past jobs, I've been given things like towels and, you
I
know.
I got a pen once. Five years a pen.
Dude,
hey,
that sucks.
I've been doing this show for 5 years. Where's my sword, Ray?
So to answer your question, and sorry for the audience out there, Candy, the sword is about this big.
I'm not even good in, like, visual measurements.
So that, like, about a meter and a half?
A big fish gesture was just done.
Big fish.
I can't be a meter and a half. I'm a meter. I'm, like, a meter and a half.
It's like a meter.
Like, okay, so the handle's about 15 to 18 centimeters, and then the rest is just pure gold.
Gold?
No. Just as in, it's just so great. It's gold.
Oh, God.
A golden sword. That'd be awesome.
I got a bit excited.
Just pure amazing awesomeness. It was really funny. So there is a club in Brisbane called La Rouge, and we decided to hire out the top floor. And part of my organizing of the party to celebrate our 5-year anniversary is I had to tell the event coordinator, by the way, there will be about 15 swords?
Yeah.
Oh, 10 swords, I should say. 10 swords. And she's just like, oh, that's a bit weird. But
I love it.
Okay.
I would love to have that kind of briefing in my job. Yeah. FYI, there's going to be a sword ceremony at some point.
Yeah, pretty much.
If La Rouge gets attacked by goblins tonight, you're pretty safe.
On it. Yeah. With our +5 armor and everything. I want to ask Morgan, if you're listening, I would love a crossbow for maybe our 5 years.
Yeah, how do you up the ante add swords?
Do that, Morgan, do it.
Well, it would suck though, like if you were here for the 2 year, you know, you got the 2 years is a sword and then the 4 years might be a shield, but you weren't here for the sword bit. You'd only have this shield. That would suck.
Captain America's cool.
Yeah.
Everyone rushed to agree with you there. Vanilla ice cream is cool.
Oh, man. Captain America is so cool.
But, like, if someone leaves after 2 years and they attack the guy who missed out on the sword but got the shield, he's fine. They've just, you know.
That's true. That's true.
Have you attacked anyone yet?
No.
Where do you keep yours?
Mine's still at work.
Oh. Well, that's not exciting.
No. Sorry. So, no, that's totally fine. You're very interested in my sword there.
I just find this a real... I mean, it makes sense, obviously, with the game, but, you know, I just kind of find it fascinating.
We should never let Candy have a sword. That would end badly.
No, I'm getting you a sword, Candy.
Yes!
Actually, I'm going to get you an axe.
Oh,
how cool would that be?
This would be awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Kim. Thanks a whole lot.
We're talking to Kim Allam from Defiant Development. Kim, do you have any awesome stories from your time at Defiant?
Did you not just hear about swords? Yeah.
Another cool story.
Yeah, I've got a few cool stories, actually. So I was over in Vegas recently, actually. So Sony put us out. Took us out to Vegas to show Hand of Fate.
You could stop there and that would still be an awesome story. Okay. I was in Vegas. The end.
I changed my life when I went to Vegas that wonderful week. That wonderful weekend. 2 days in Vegas. Boom. In and out. Which was just so, so cool. Part of that... Actually, that's a different story, but I'm going to continue the story anyway. In Vegas, we got to rub shoulders with some pretty cool people. I saw Snoop Dogg once.
What?
Well, actually, that's the second time. It was like in Walgreens, which is like a chemist equivalent, like a Priceline. And he's just getting like all this like candy. He's just like in his.
That makes sense to me.
There's so much candy in his like sandals with socks and stuff. It's just so funny. So I was in there showing off Hand of Fate, and A, I saw Snoop Dogg, and B, I got to rub shoulders with some really cool developers. One of them is Luis Antonio, who is ex-Rockstar and ex-Ubisoft. And we just had, it was just really cool just being able to just hang out and rock out with some people who I have played games, who are makers of games I've loved. And it's just a really, really cool rad time. I feel kind of like a rock star, just a little bit, just a little bit.
You were telling us about Major Lazer earlier as well.
Oh, yes! Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was the story. See, I knew you were hinting at something. Yeah, I know where this is going. All right, so with Ski Safari Adventure Time, out of nowhere, Diplo from Major Lazer tweeted something to, oh God, what's that dubstep guy's name who's really, really famous?
Skrillex.
Skrillex. He tweeted out to Skrillex saying, oh dude, something along the lines of, I need more gems, my Lady Rainicorn, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, hang on a second. Because in my daily routine, I'll scan Twitter and whatnot. And I'm like, whoa, did Diplo just tweet out to Skrillex about Ski Safari Adventure Time? And so I looked at it and I'm staring at it for a good solid like 30 seconds, which is long, right?
That's yeah.
Like, staring at it, like I stared at paint dry for 20 seconds. That was harsh enough. Anyway, so I'm looking at this and I'm like, I'm going to message Diplo. I'm going to message Diplo and say, hey, do you want some gems? I can get you gems.
I can hook you up.
I know a guy. I know a guy. and so I'm messaging him, and he replied. He's just like, yeah, I need more gems. Send me gems. And so I speak to Dan, who is just basically saying, oh, by the way, unless he actually comes to the studio, we can't get him gems. Because we need his device. We couldn't push it out to him through the App Store and whatnot. So I was just like, oh, now I have to tell Diplo I can't get him gems.
No, now you've got the perfect opportunity to invite him to come to the studio.
Oh, by the way, sorry, you'll have to come to the studio. No, you know, not saying anything funny, but if you want gems, you're going to have to come to Brisbane.
And can you bring Snoop Dogg?
yeah, so that's my story. Thank you, Ray, for refreshing my memory. That was the story.
Pleasure is all mine. We love Hand of Fate. What are you guys working on now? Can you tell? Is it big hush-hush?
Look,
can you
tell us anything? We had a Kotaku article that was recently kind of released, and we slipped and said there will be a Hand of Fate 2. And super stoked to announce it, but you guys are pretty much getting it first announcement, which is really cool. But it wasn't intended. However, we are working towards Hand of Fate 2, learning from Hand of Fate 1, working on doing more of the good stuff, much less of the bad stuff, thanks to our super, super vocal and super awesome Steam community and Kickstarter pledges. Like, they've been so vocal and involved in our game. It's just phenomenal. Hand of Fate 2 is in the works. And, yeah, doing more good stuff, less of the bad stuff.
And it's going to be a PS Vita exclusive, yeah?
Jodie, are you the PS Vita?
No, it's Ray.
Ray. That's Ray's tower.
Ray. Oh, no, but there was another guy you mentioned outside.
Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron.
There's two of us and Tim from Witchbeam. There's three of us.
Yeah,
three of us who own PS Vitas in Brisbane. Love to hear from any more.
You just want to swap some games, right?
Yeah.
So for all the PS Vita guys out there, there is a ray.lovespsvita.com URL out there now.
There is now.
And start a Tumblr.
Looking into PS Vita.
Yeah, but seriously, PS Vita Hand of Fate edition. Now I've got you on the spot. Promised, but hasn't arrived. Where is it?
It hasn't. Well, the way it goes is it's easier or time efficient to work on the console stuff because it's a completely different process, completely different. We're dealing with different systems here. But once we had that out of the way and whatnot, we were able to... we're now able to look into Vita and really establish what the best way is about to go about that. Because we're a small team, I know people say, 10 to 15 people, that's quite a large team. But the great thing about, and what people have said, like journalists have said about Hand of Fate, is it doesn't look like a indie game. It looks like a AAA title with, but it's an indie, from an indie game with indie business processes and whatnot.
I understand that you're referred to as a Mindy. Is that
right? Oh, God. I asked Mark to take that out. I really, after reading the article that Mark Searles wrote, I was just hoping that maybe I did coin that and that would be kind of cool. But someone else did coin it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but they coined it for something that doesn't really make sense, a mini indie. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Does that make sense?
No, not at all.
There's not really... You can't be any less an indie. Small. One guy indie, like Alex from Antichamber. He's an indie. He's not a mini indie. Hi, Alex.
He's a whole person.
Mm. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But mini indies are people too, by the way. So, we love you.
We've been talking to Kim Allam from Defy Development. Kim, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I hope you'll stick around and hang out with us for the rest of the program.
Absolutely,
It'd be great to hear your thoughts on the games we'll be talking about later on, including Audio Surf 2 and Yeti Skiing.
What is it?
Mountain.
Skiing Yeti Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's because Razor said it and then he just got me confused.
Yeah.
I know it. I've been playing it.
Champagne Radio once again.
I've been playing a game called Audio Surf 2, which, for those of you who don't know Audio Surf, they're like if you take the visualization thing from Windows Media Player, the thing that takes the song you're listening to and turns it into a swirly, sparkly thing that accompanies your music, take that and make a game out of it. Mm. So you feed Audio Surf an MP3 or, in the new version, a SoundCloud link to whatever song you want to use.
Yep.
And then some magical algorithm takes that song, analyzes the tempo of it and the beat and where the music changes, and uses that to create this track that's like a roller coaster in space that you then get to race across as the song plays.
Whoa.
Yes.
Sounds cool.
It's really trippy and pretty fun. The way it works is that it rises as the song is building, and then as the song speeds up, then you race down at a faster speed. There are curves that suit, like as there's a big key change, then a song will corkscrew you off and you start spinning to the left and right. So you don't control your own speed. The speed of the music controls your speed, and other parts of the music will alter other parts of the track and the visualization. So there are blocks on the track, and they might appear in time with the drum beats or just appear more and more frequently as the intensity of the song builds up. It's kind of abstract, so it's not like every single musical instrument will be a thing you have to dodge. It's more that the overall vibe of the song translates in a really vague way into what you're experiencing, but it still syncs up. You still feel like this is a physical manifestation of the music as a racetrack that you zoom along on.
So you are something of a, you're an audiophile. What is it like to actually get to race through your music collection?
It's great. I, as a music lover, have always been jealous of people with synesthesia, the thing that makes people feel like they can hear colors or they associate days of the week with sounds. I've always wanted to know what it's like to see music, and this gives me that feeling.
Ooh, big call.
As someone who edits audio regularly, I know that some music doesn't really appear as waves, like really, really heavy metal, for example, might just be a block because there's no real peaks and troughs. It's just bang, 100 volume, like, all the time. Does that come across in the music as well? Like, have you played any, like, heavy metal songs that don't have peaks and valleys and are just sort of, like, big blocks of noise?
I have. But even in a song like that, there are still going to be some variations, so it will suit those variations. It's not comparing your song to a quieter song. It's comparing it to variations within that song, so there will still be parts that are more intense and parts that are less intense, parts where there are a lot of gray blocks to dodge and colored blocks to collect, and other parts where it's more spaced out, even if you're playing a Dragon Force song or even a really high-intensity dance track.
Is this a game, if it's visual, is this a game that people with perhaps hearing impairments would appreciate? Would it? Is it something that they might enjoy if they're not hearing the music, but they can upload music and suddenly be seeing what it looks like, the speed, that kind of thing? Or do you really need to still be able to hear it?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think you would have to ask somebody who had a hearing impairment. I think if you were deaf, I don't think it would work for you. If you had the ability to hear music but couldn't hear it as well, then this might help you bridge the gap, but I'm not sure.
Interesting.
So the thing that AudioSurf 2 does, there are a few things it does differently from the original, but the one that matters most to me is that it takes the kind of corkscrew moments where you'll start barreling off to the left and the right, which are the most fun, the parts where suddenly you're spinning and upside down, and increases them. I had to hunt through a lot of music to find that in the original AudioSurf, because it only happened rarely, but it happens during the chorus of Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, and the first time it happened, it blew my mind. It was like, this is exactly what that song is about.
Yeah, you have actually jumped the gun here. I was going to verify now. So you were saying earlier that the best song to play AudioSurf with, the best level in any video game, is in fact Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush.
Yes, and that remains true, although Love Roller Coaster by the Ohio Players, the original 1970s version, is also quite good, and I recommend it.
Okay.
Pop music in general is what works best because it has the most changes in it. You see the popular songs, you can see what other people are playing, you can compare your scores, and there's a lot of high-intensity dance music and dubstep, which is great because it's very intense, but I think that pop music works the best because it has the most key changes, it has the most variations, big choruses.
That's AudioSurf 2, which is available for the PC only.
Yes,
Jody?
That's right. It's on Steam.
Very quickly, before we end the show, we've got to talk about one more game that you guys have been playing. Give us the 2-minute super undersized version. Sorry.
Okay.
Skiing Yeti Mountain. You are a little skier, and it looks just like the game that you used to play in high school 15 years ago.
Ski Free.
That's it. Thank you. Why do I always forget that?
Anyway,
yeah. You know the game when you were supposed to be typing in typing class and you weren't because you were playing the skiing game? It looks like that.
Yep. It's broken it up into little like puzzle slalom levels, though, for mobile. And there's a story. There's a story that plays through, which like characters keep coming in and out. You're a guy who's skiing Yeti Mountain looking to find the Yeti.
Which has eaten a guide.
Yes.
Like a skiing instructor guide.
I hate that Yeti.
Yeah. Is he good looking?
Which the guide
No, the Yeti.
Oh, the Yeti. I haven't seen it. No, he was mangled. There was nothing left of the guide, and I've not yet found the Yeti. Mm,
but there are lots of other characters in there as well. There's like, there's a hunter. There's a guy who's the jock from every like teen skiing movie as well, who comes in and sasses you.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary out.
Yeah, that guy sucks. I think a Yeti gets him though, so it's
oh
all
my
right.
gosh, I hope so, because I'm so sick of him telling me that I'm not good enough for a black diamond challenge level yet. Gary out. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I could just hear him and he annoys me.
So it's by a little tiny Australian team. It is incredibly fun. It's free and on your phone.
And I think the biggest thing that I would like to mention with this game, it was actually designed. It was designed after the developers had travelled to the Himalayas and Nepal especially, and the game was released in fun with their memories of the beautiful mountains in mind. And unfortunately, it was released at a time when Nepal was hit with that horrible earthquake, and the developers, I think girlfriend and family were over there, were affected. And so they, all of the profits from this game, if you do purchase the version without commercials, without ads, will go to help people overseas. So that I thought that was worth mentioning. It's a really lovely reason to develop it. Yeah.
Sorry, is it available on Android and iPhone?
Yes.
Very cool. That's very sweet. That's very cool.
Mm.
That's Skiing Yeti Mountain.
Yeah.
And this will bring us to the close of this week's episode of Zed Games, guys. Thank you very much for listening, for the benefit of humankind.
That's why we're doing it.
And big thanks to Kim for joining us. Kim from Defiant Development.
Yeah.
It's been awesome having you along. We'll be back next week at the same time. Now we have one more track to play us out.
It's the best track of all time.
Well, we couldn't really not play it after spending all that time talking about it, could we? This is Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.